Well, friend, did you know when you woke up this morning, when you wiped the sleepy out of your eyes, God's mercies were already new for you? Isn't that great? They are new every morning, and that is great because I need them. Hey, it is so good to see you. Welcome to a brand new month. I'll tell you what, I still have my calendar up on October, I think. We had a calendar in the garage that still said, like, February 2017. But here we are. It's November, this Thursday, November 1st, 2018. So good to see you, friend. I hope that you are having a great week. Yesterday, we officially closed on our old home and closed on our new home, and all in the same day. And this past weekend, we kind of moved everything out of our home. We're moving into a larger one that we can at least breathe, you know. So I am still slightly sore. At least that's what I'm telling Aubrey, so I don't have to keep moving stuff. Oh, I just need a few days off. I'm a little sore. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of a week, that is for sure. But God is good. His mercies are new. His grace is amazing. And his blessings are out of this world. Amen. God is so, so good. He is so faithful. God is so faithful. A couple of nights ago, my wife and I, we went to our old house one final time just to make sure things were cleaned up and so forth. And before we closed the door the final time, just looked through the house, and we just prayed together, and we were just overwhelmed by God's faithfulness and his goodness. I mean, think about it. God's word even says, even when we are faithless, he is still faithful. He remains true to his character. He is who he says he is. So, friend, I just want to encourage you today. I'm not sure what you got going on this week, today, but I just want to remind you, God is faithful. Even when you're looking at grim news, God is faithful. Even when you get a phone call in the middle of the night, a phone call you don't ever want to receive, God is still faithful. God is faithful on the mountaintops, and God is faithful down in the valleys. Amen. He really is. Well, I hope you're having yourself a great week. The Kroll household has been quite busy, that's for sure. But coming up next Thursday, we're going to start another round of the English conversation classes next Thursday, a week from today, at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square in Urbana, meeting in Unit 112 right across from the food court. And this is just a great opportunity, great outreach of this radio ministry. So if you know somebody who would benefit from being part of these English conversation classes, just send them on over next Thursday. It's going to be every Thursday for the next handful of weeks, beginning at 10 a.m. through 12 noon. It's fun, it's free, educational, and great intermediate and beginner instruction in American culture and speaking the English language. More details on that at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. There you can also find more details on the Great News Radio Children's Choir. We're excited about that. All that and more, greatnewsradio.org. And it's a new month, it's a new day, and it's November. And can you believe it's been 1 year since that tragic shooting at that church in Sutherland Springs, Texas? It's been a year. I was reading just a few months ago where plans were revealed for a new church, their new building, so to speak, at First Baptist Sutherland Springs, Texas. And they had a groundbreaking ceremony back in May, and trying to rebuild their lives together. And as you remember, 26 people perished in the shooting, 30 were wounded, and it took place November 5th, 2017. And today, I thought we would have a study together entitled Where Was God? You know, life happens, tragedy takes place, brokenness occurs, and sometimes, depending on how painful or how broken the situation is or was, that can lead some of us to say, God, where were you in the midst of that? We're going to take a look at the book of Genesis coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more and more, more and more. Yeah.
It was Sunday, November 5th, 2017, where we got news that a 26-year-old man walked into First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and unfortunately brought down 26 people. Most of them were children. And when situations like this occur, we say, God, where were you? September the 11th, 2001, after the tragic events that took place, people were asking, God, where were you? And that's a common question. God, where were you in the midst of this tragedy? Why did you allow this to happen? And today here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to take a look at a man who had tragic event after tragic event. And his name is Joseph in the Old Testament. So if you have your Bible, if you're able to join me, that would be wonderful. Genesis 37. And we're going to talk about God, where were you? Because I'm sure Joseph can be the one who would understandably stand up and raise his hand and say, God, where were you in this situation? In Genesis chapter 37, we see that Joseph at this time in this chapter, he is 17 years old. And in verse 3, it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all the other sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Joseph, 17 years old. He was having dreams, but these were not daydreams. These were not foolish imaginations. They were not hellish nightmares. They were God-given dreams. God had told him that he was going to be a ruler. People were going to follow him, and he will lead them. Now think about this, 17 years old. His whole life is before him. It's filled with promise. It's filled with hope. It's filled with unlimited potential. But as we see here, he had struggle after struggle, tragic event after tragic event. He was betrayed. Genesis 37, verse 18, after they saw Joseph coming, his brothers saw him coming to them from far off. And verse 18 says they saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal had devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. Verse 23, so when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Verse 25, then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, not let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. Friend, he was betrayed and sold by his own brothers. And we need to remember, when we read God's word, these are real people in real situations with real hurt, with real pain. He was betrayed at the age of 17 by his own brothers. It wasn't bad enough that he was betrayed, but he was betrayed by his brothers. He was betrayed by his own family. He was betrayed by his own flesh and blood. Think about the hurt. Think about the confusion. Think about the pain to know that you were betrayed by your own family and sold as a slave. People who should have loved you betrayed you. So he was betrayed, and then he was falsely accused. By this time, Joseph was brought down to Egypt by the Ishmaelites. He was bought by a man by the name of Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh. Potiphar had put Joseph in charge of the matters of his home. He was doing such a great job where Potiphar had no concerns. He didn't have to worry about anything because Joseph was doing a great job. And in Genesis chapter 39, verse 6, it says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and time after time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything back from me except you, because you are his wife. And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled
and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." And she told her husband Potiphar, and Potiphar threw Joseph in prison. He was in prison for a crime that he did not commit. Being accused of rape. I mean, anybody that's ever been accused of something they didn't do knows the desire to clear your name. He's been accused of rape. Can you imagine the conversation that he had in prison? "Joe, why are you here?" "Well, I'm here because I was accused of rape, but I didn't do it." And everybody's saying, "Yeah, right. That's what we all say down here." So he was betrayed, he was falsely accused, and he was abandoned, because in Genesis chapter 40, Pharaoh sent down the cupbearer and the chief baker to prison. And they both were having dreams, and they would not understand what the dreams meant while they were in prison. And Joseph said, "I can interpret dreams." And Joseph said, "Hey, I will interpret your dreams if you remember me and tell Pharaoh that I am down here for a crime that I did not commit." And they agreed to that. And Joseph interpreted the dream. And when the chief cupbearer went back and was restored to his position, the Bible says that he did not remember Joseph, but he forgot about him. Joseph was wronged again. Now think about the hope that he had, because he was in prison for a crime he did. He wanted to find any way out of there to clear his name. And he thought he had an agreement with the chief cupbearer for Pharaoh, yet the Bible says in Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Seems like that verse has summed up his entire life. They forgot about him. If I was Joseph, here's what I would be thinking and processing. "My brothers hated me. They used me to make a profit when they sold me. My slave owners used me to be their slave. Potiphar's wife wanted to use me to satisfy her needs. The chief cupbearer used me to interpret his dreams. I am a nobody. I am a nothing. God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of this chaos? Where I don't see your hand, where are you?" Let me tell you something, friend. He's forgotten by his brothers. He's forgotten by that evil woman who lied about his character. He's forgotten by Potiphar. He's forgotten by the chief cupbearer. But friend, he is not forgotten by God, because 2 years later, Pharaoh started having dreams and wanted to know what they meant, and nobody knew what they meant and until the chief cupbearer remembered Joseph. And so Pharaoh called up Joseph to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and warned him that there was going to be 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh was so impressed that Joseph interpreted the dreams that he made Joseph ruler over Egypt. Ruler over Egypt. And God used him to save the land from the 7 years of famine. See, friend, this story has a sweet ending, but not all stories have a sweet ending like this, do they? And friend, no matter what kind of story you have, I want you to see something. After being sold into slavery and arrived in Egypt, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 says, "The Lord was with Joseph." And after being thrown in prison after a crime that he did not commit, Genesis 39, verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." And again, in Genesis 39, verse 23, "The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him." Here's a man who had every reason to complain. God, where are you? But three different times in one chapter, we are reminded that the Lord was with Joseph. Friend, I'm not sure what you have going on today, but I want to let you know the same God who was with Joseph is the same God that is with you and me today. We may not see the silver lining of what's going on, the chaotic stuff in our life this side of heaven, but one day all of it will make sense, because Joseph, several years later, came across his brothers. And Joseph is ruler now, and Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So I just want to encourage you today on this Thursday that the same God who is with Joseph is the same God who is with you and me today.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Well, friend, thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, just remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.
Just as I am.